You're listening to WBH Radio. I am your host, William Holly. Thanks for joining me on episode number 31, recorded here at the beautiful campus of Brooklyn College, as I like to do. Special shout out to the students here for holding me down. You can check them out at my WBCR. Now, a few things I want to get into today. Zion Williamson and the Duke Blue Devils are making a fantastic tournament run. We had a few couple prominent athletes retire, Rob Gronkowski, mixed martial artist Conor McGregor. So a few things I want to get into. In fact, I'm happy to be here because my schoolwork has been stressing me to no end. So it was good to have a little bit of a break and get behind the mic. Although, if you know me well enough, you know this podcast stuff stresses me out too. So I guess I just picked the lesser of the two evils, man. But all around, I guess I'm just a high-strung dude. But let's get into it. I wanted to start here with the Big Baller Brand. Came out this week that Lakers guard Lonzo Ball was severing ties with the company that he co-founded with his family. He believes their partner, a gentleman by the name of Alan Foster, embezzled $1.5 million away from the company. Now, Will, what do you think about that? Shit. The same thing you do. It's messed up. Like, what else you got to say about it? It's messed up. I get mad when the change falls out of my pocket in my car and I can't find it. So imagine being defrauded out of $1.5 million. And Alan Foster had a little bit of a history on him. In 2002, Foster was sentenced to more than 7 years in prison after pleading guilty to one count of mail fraud and two counts of money laundering as part of a scheme that defrauded 70 investors of $4 million. Now, the media has been killing the Ball family for putting this gentleman in place. But you know what? If you're from where I'm from, not many people come from those environments unscathed. Not many people come from those environments unblemished. If I built something tomorrow, I'd probably have a few crooks in there too. You know what I mean? So I can't really jump on the family for that. In fact, the quote from the dad, LaVar Ball, he says, "I've always believed in the best in people. Regretfully, I put my complete trust in Alan Foster to manage my son's business affairs. At the end of the day, family comes first, and I support Zoe wholeheartedly. Together, we will make this right." That was the dad, man. He said, "I put my trust in this guy. He burnt us. But you know what? Forget all that. I need to make sure my family's right." So to me, really, there's no news there. Just wishing the family the best. Hope they can get that right. Now, the news is they've been killing Lonzo Ball because he got his Big Baller Brand tattoo covered up. And he got it covered up with a tattoo of some dice that doesn't really look that great, right? It's like geometrically off. The shapes are not the greatest, but the internet's been killing him for that. But somebody like me who has many tattoos and I could point to blemishes all over my body, I ain't want to judge. I ain't want to judge, yo, but crazy situation. But what bothers me about this situation is when people use this as the opportunity to say, "Look, I told you so. You should have never tried to build your own sneaker brand. You should have just took that check from Nike. You should have just took that $10 million from Adidas." I hate when those people come out of the woodwork. You know why? Because they're speaking from a place of fear. They see somebody out there trying to build something spectacular, see somebody trying to swing for the fences, and they can't do it themselves. So they say, "Look, I told you so." As soon as there is the appearance of failure or a setback. Now, before I go any further into that, I want to talk about the butterfly effect. Did you guys see that Ashton Kutcher movie, The Butterfly Effect? The butterfly effect is like if a butterfly flaps his wings, a little small flap, it has effects across the globe. Right? So stay with me. So when people say, "Hey, you should have just changed one little thing. You can't just change one little thing. Keep in mind, it has ripple effects, right? So that's the butterfly effect. So let's start with the dad, LaVar Ball. Charles Barkley came out and said, yo, he's a loudmouth jackass, and he's just trying to live off of his son's fame. But I can make the case that if you change that aspect of dad, you got to change the whole trajectory of Lonzo Ball's career to this point. You got to change everything that's happened to him. Because I believe it's the fact that his daddy was a loudmouth that he even got drafted as high as he did. His dad was kind of like a carnival barker. Like, look, my son is the greatest. My son is this, that, and the third. To the point where we all had to turn and look. You know, you go to the carnival barker's talking. You got to take a look and see what's under the tent. So if you change that aspect of his dad, if you make his dad a little bit quieter, his son may not even get drafted as high as he did. If you change that aspect about his dad being involved, those kids may not be the basketball players that they are. So you got to keep in mind, you got to take the good with the bad, the butterfly effect. If you change that one little aspect of dad, you got to go back 20 years and rearrange those kids' lives. Right? You call him a jackass and say he's a loudmouth. Shit, him being a loudmouth is the reason his son has 6.3 million Twitter followers. That ain't about basketball. Markelle Fultz was drafted before Lonzo Ball. He only got 2 million. Jason Tatum, who plays for the storied franchise, the Boston Celtics, who had an epic seven-game series in the Eastern Conference Finals last year against LeBron James, he only got 2.3 million. So be careful when you try to tweak people. Yo, if he just changes dad, his dad's a loudmouth. That loudmouth has contributed to the young man's success. I hate when people try to make it perfect. Yo, just tweak this aspect. I hate when people, no. If you're going to change that aspect, you got to change it for the previous 20 years. And I promise you, if his dad wasn't who he is, those kids wouldn't have been on the same path. So in some situations, maybe the loud mouth hurts him, but in other situations, it works. You live with it. I'll give you a personal story. This past weekend, I organized a surprise basketball game for one of my friends. My friend was a college athlete. They moved on to be a college coach. And then they got a new job and they could no longer work as a coach anymore, right? They no longer had the time. But my friend missed the game so much. I said, yo, they would have really appreciate me putting them in the gym, surprise pickup game with some of their former players. Like, it's going to be magic. I had players in there from Brooklyn College. I had players in there who played basketball with me 10 years ago. It was a great event. Everybody had fun. No, people didn't know who was coming. Like, everybody was surprised. Now, people, going back to my situation with Brooklyn College, when I got let go, people would say, yo, Will, man, if you wasn't just an a-hole, you wouldn't have got fired. Yo, Will, if you weren't so boisterous and high-strung, and if you weren't that person, you wouldn't have got fired. You're absolutely right. But if I wasn't that person, I wouldn't have had the college career I had. If I wasn't that person, I wouldn't have the love, respect, and admiration I have for my teammates from 10 years ago. If I wasn't that person, I wouldn't have been able to get those kids from Brooklyn College up on a Saturday morning. You know how hard it is to get kids up on a Saturday morning at 8 a.m. when you ain't got no incentive for them to be there. You ain't got any money, nothing. They just did on the strength of who you are. When I invited one of the players, he said, Coach, all that you did for us, I'll be there. Don't worry. So again, with that butterfly effect, had you changed that little aspect of my personality, the part that got me fired, I wouldn't have all of those great relationships. I wouldn't have been able to have such an event on a Saturday, everybody out there laughing, chilling, joking. I wouldn't have the relationship I have with my teammates who I fought with, I went to battle with, had great victories, epic failures. You can't tweak it to perfection. You got to take the good with the bad. Right? The butterfly effect. If you change that one little aspect of who, man, my freaking attitude brought me home from Iraq. If I was just a dude that took any and everything, I might have died out there. So it worked over there in Iraq, got me fired at Brooklyn. I'm cool. I take the good with the bad. Same with LaVar Ball, man. People trying to tweak him, Charles Barkley call him a jackass. No. That's the reason his sons don't go hungry at night. Because of his attitude, because of his influence, because of him speaking. So be careful of that. As far as the business goes, and I'm taking that $1.5 million loss. I'm sorry, Nicole, but I got another Jay-Z line for you. He said, a loss ain't a loss, it's a lesson. They might have lost $1.5 million on paper. Yes. But first and foremost, if the guy stole $1.5 million, doesn't that mean they were making money? Doesn't that mean money was flowing into the business? Right, but put that to the side, right? So you lost that $1.5 million. But what about the lessons that you learned building that brand? Shit, kids go to college for that. He got those lessons in real time. What about the relationships you forged while building that brand? What about the following you earned? You can't quantify that. You might have met somebody in the process that's going to help you make your next $10 million. If the kid does move on to a regular sneaker contract, when he sits across the table from Nike execs, they look at him differently now. He might be well-versed in the lingo of building a sneaker that makes him more of an asset than a regular draft pick just coming out of college. You can't quantify the lessons that he learned. A loss ain't a loss. It's a lesson. So it might be a 1.5 loss today, but who knows? All of the lessons, everything involved in this process can pay dividends in the future. With me, they told me I took a loss, being dismissed from Brooklyn College. Are you crazy? You can't talk to me about you can't quantify the relationships I earned from those kids and the people around that team that are going to be with me for the rest of my life. So I just talk to those safe people that say, man, laughing at the kid because he lost 1.5. Are you nuts? A loss ain't a loss, it's a lesson. Appreciate the pain, it's a blessing. Yo, Nick, I know you tired of the Jay-Z lines, but J. Cole said the same thing. He said, why you acting like a bitch? If you scared to take a chance, how we gonna get rich? They took a chance, okay, cool. Write that 1.5 off. But the lessons, the values, the people, the experience is priceless. When LeBron James salutes this kid on social media, he's not just saluting a teammate. He's looking at him and like, okay, I see, son. Your mind is different. I got you. Let's build something. LeBron talk about Nike are welcoming in-house. I'm sure they would. Because you got an entrepreneurial spirit, an enterprising young man who is different than these other kids out here who just looking for a paycheck. I'm going to finish up this topic on with this quote. Quote, only through experimentation can you get real invention. The most important inventions come from trial and error with lots of failure. The quote goes on to say, failure and innovation are inseparable twins. You know who that came from? Amazon CEO, richest man in America, Jeff Bezos. So all you folks who's laughing and this, if you scared to take a chance, how the F you gonna get rich? Y'all need some more water in here, man. I had a little fun with that one. But look, that might be the theme of the podcast, the butterfly effect, man. Let's see if we can keep carrying that. Yo, Colin Kaepernick has settled his grievance with the NFL. It came out a few weeks ago that he reportedly settled for $60 million. Now, last week it came out that he might have settled for less than 10. And I see a lot of his supporters, in fact, my favorite podcast, the Joe Budden podcast, they were a little disappointed. They said, look, man, if it's only $10 million, that's a bad look for him. Now, before I get any further into that, let me clarify my comments on Colin Kaepernick, because I wrote a little piece on my website, WBHradio.com, and my friend Fenton and Nick, they always clown me like, yo, I didn't think you supported Colin Kaepernick. This was my stance with Colin Kaepernick. Hey, Cap, you took a knee in the NFL. Beautiful, man. What a silent protest that spoke volumes. I'm with you, brother. My issue, and it really wasn't with Kaepernick, it was with his supporters who were begging the NFL to let him back in. I'm like, dog, that's nuts. If you just spanked all the NFL owners, why are you now begging them for your job back? Nah, dog, live with your repercussions. You took a knee, we behind you. Let's move on to the next chapter. You don't go against somebody and then, oh, yo, son, can I get my job back? Nah, that's weak. So that was my stance with Kaepernick. I never had an issue with him. In fact, I was behind him. So as we look at this $10 million and people being disappointed and they think he might have took the wrong move, to that I say, yo, how can the man that spearheaded the movement make a wrong move? I was always puzzled by that. This is the man that took a knee without anybody's permission. He started this movement. How can we now sit back and say, well, he should have did this and should have did that? I was flabbergasted at how people tried to hijack the movement for their own issues. It was a knee, and then people start putting a fist in the air, and they was like, yo, I got a speeding ticket last week, so, I'm going to take a knee. Dog, this is Kaepernick's movement. He said, I'm taking a knee because I want to raise awareness about the injustices in this country. That's all he said. That's all he said. He said, and still we start abiding by what that flag stands for, I am not going to stand for it. And still we start respecting one another, I'm not going to stand for it. I want that conversation to start in this country. And that's exactly what happened. So in my eyes, mission accomplished. How did that turn into, yo, we boycotting and, yo, we not watching NFL? Colin Kaepernick would take a knee and then go play in an NFL game. When did that turn into a boycott? When did that turn into, yo, we can't accept money from the NFL? How did that turn into Travis Scott is a traitor because he performed at the halftime show? Huh? That was never Cap's movement. In fact, y'all know I'm a big Jay-Z fan, but Jay-Z owns Roc Nation Sports. He is an agent for multiple NFL players. He draws a commission from those NFL players who get paid from the NFL. So Jay-Z's earning money from the NFL. But that's acceptable, but Travis Scott can't perform. So yeah, put that to the side. Okay, cool. So if Kaepernick took $10 million or $10, that's his prerogative. He started this movement. He ain't asking anybody's permission or anybody's thoughts. He is the spearhead. He is the tip of this movement. So I get a kick out of everybody passing down judgment and hijacking the knee for something else. Colin Kaepernick took a knee, went in the game, and now all of a sudden I'm not supposed to watch NFL games? Huh? Like, it's nuts, man. And it shows how everybody's just a follower. Cap accomplished his mission. He put his career on the line. For 2 years, he sat out while you boys were still drawing a check, while you boys were sitting on your couch eating wings and watching games. He put everything on the line. Did anybody help him feed his family over these last 2 years when he was out of the league? Nah, y'all boys continued to play. So if he wants to, settle with the NFL for $10 million, $1 million, $100 million, that is his prerogative, man. I don't see the movement jeopardized or compromised, rather, because he took some money. He did what he set out to do. He started the conversation, and sure enough, he did. And if anybody who views that as a loss, I go back to it, right? A loss ain't a loss. It's a lesson, right? So over the last 2 years, he hasn't played. Let's say he did only collect $10 million. We cannot quantify who he is with just money, son. He put his names in the rafters with Muhammad Ali. And if you listen to this podcast, I talked about Muhammad Ali when he chose not to go into the military draft, and he was dead broke and people laughed at him. Now he's a legend. People running in the street chasing his hearse. So today it might only be $10 million for Cap, but his value is much higher than that. Kaepernick hasn't said a word, right? What do you think the price is for his first interview? What do you think the price is for his first magazine story? So laugh at that $10 million. What do you think the price is when he finally sits down and writes a book? It's going to be worth a lot more than whatever the hell Cam Newton is saying, right? So don't forget that, son. Don't forget that. People always on some small fries thing, like these myopic viewpoints. Colin Kaepernick is a world figure now. He ain't just a quarterback. He ain't Cam Newton. He ain't Todd Gurley. Colin Kaepernick could get Obama on the phone. He could get whoever he need on the phone. He could get into different rooms that regular quarterbacks can't get into anymore. He went to new heights. So you could laugh and you could scoff at that $10 million all you want. He was recognized at Harvard, got the W.E.B. Du Bois Award. Like, he's different. Invaluable, son. You can't put a price on what he is and what he will be in the future. You can see the stance on him is softening already. Man, when he dropped that book, through the roof. When he do that Barbara Walters interview, they're going to have to pay that man. When the magazines come to talk to him, they're going to have to pay for him. People going to be looking to put a mic in his face before they put in fucking Cam Newton's face, who speaks every week but doesn't say a goddamn thing. Laugh at that $10 million if you want to. Switch some gears, man. Have some fun. Have some fun. The NCAA tournament is underway. And I want to talk about Zion Williamson for a minute. Because I must admit, I hadn't watched him. Because when the world is all hype about somebody, it kind of turns my stomach. It turns me off. I ain't gonna front. Like, maybe I am a contrarian at heart. But I finally watched him in the ACC basketball tournament. And the kid is a monster. Probably in sports, one of the most heavily funded areas is talent evaluation. It's heavily funded, but it doesn't produce at a high clip. Everybody's a scout. Everybody's a GM. Everybody's trying to find the next guy. Right? But if everybody was good at their job, then we would never have situations where the number one pick was a bust. We would never have situations where teams got caught in bad contracts. So teams put a lot of money into talent evaluation, but rarely are the fruits of that labor realized. So the question is, like, yo, is Zion, is he going to be a bust? Is he going to be good? Like, that's a hard question. And with basketball, you can't just look at stats because somebody's scoring 20 points everywhere. Every high school has a 20-point score. Every college got a 20-point score. Like, you have to look at different factors. Like, what's his competition like? How did he get his points? Is he just bigger than everybody? Is he just faster than everybody? And so that's probably what's going on now with Zion Williamson. But when I watched him, I'm like, yo, no more evaluations needed. Son is the truth. And what I was looking for is that motor. You know, it's sad to say, but everybody that plays basketball doesn't do it for the love. Doesn't do it because they just want to be great. You know, even in my own college career, you look around your own locker room, you're like, yo, son, why you here? Oh, my dad likes when I play. Yo, son, why you here? I was tall in gym class in high school and the teacher made me play, so I just stuck with it. Everybody ain't there for the love. Even when I worked in professional locker rooms, we about to start a game and there's a player in there worrying about dinner reservations. Man, if you don't get out there and swing that goddamn bat, so that's just not the case. But when you see Zion, you see, first and foremost, you see his motor, his desire to win. And it's not from a selfish place. You know, I've seen him get upset when his team was down. And it's not because he's not scoring or anything. Like, he just wants his team to be successful. You know, you don't even have to run a play for him. When one of his teammates put a shot up, you see him crashing the glass. You see him playing defense, trying to get steals, trying to get in transition. That's impressive. Some guys, they get 20 points because their team force feeds them. Now, Zion's like, yo, dog, you ain't got to run a play for me. I'll go get a rebound. I'll go get a steal, pushing a transition to get a bucket. Those players are special. Those players, you can couple them with any star in the league. You could put them with KD. You could put them with LeBron, and he's going to be successful. You ain't got to run a play for me, coach. I'm going to go get it off the muscle, man. I'm going to do whatever it takes for this team to win. And that's just been great, man. I've been enjoying watching him, man. You hear him talk about his love of the game. Now, most fans will say, well, yeah, they all playing basketball. They all love the game. I just told you, that ain't the truth, man. You got talented players, and then you got monsters. Zion's a monster, man. His motor cannot be denied. You know, when I think a player like Anthony Davis in the league right now with the New Orleans Pelicans, very talented player. I can't think of one basket of consequence in his NBA career. Like, you know, he just kind of steady chugging along because he's skilled. But I never seen him just go after it. I never heard anybody describe him as having a love for the game. So, everybody enjoy the tournament this weekend, and I will definitely be watching Zion. Now, Zion had that sneaker mishap when he busted through a sneaker. And, you know, everybody got a good laugh. But Nike was really under fire for that. Not for me, because, I mean, things happen. But Nike was really taking a beating. In fact, the stock dropped the very next day after he busted through his shoe. I'll tell you this story. One time, my mom brought a new car. She brought a minivan. And something something was wrong with it. Like something silly, like the freaking the power seats wouldn't move. Something real silly. So she took it back to the dealership and she was ranting and raving, like, yo, son, I just bought this car, spent all this money. Why is this not working? And her car salesman, who was a religious man, he said to my mom, he said, listen, man, we're going to get it fixed. Don't you worry. He said, but listen, anything that is man-made can break. That car was made by human beings who are flawed. It could break. And my mother, being the God-fearing woman that she is, oh, she ate that up. She said, you know what? That makes sense. If it didn't come from God, it ain't perfect. That makes sense. You know, and I was a child at that point. But ever since then, I never really stressed about products that break. Like, yo, it's flawed. I'm not even a religious dude, but that makes sense. Like, yo, it broke. So I didn't really have an issue with the sneaker breaking. I wasn't about to go throw away all my Nikes, but people were under fire. So Nike put some people on a plane to China and said, listen, we got to make sure this shoe is good for this kid, this 270-pound 6'7 kid, because we can't have our sneaker busting on national TV again. So they did that, brought some sneakers back to the kid, and the kid's been fine. The kid's been fine. But I just think, like, yo, that is a crazy place that Nike was really under the gun. People were watching with bated breath, like, that sneaker better not bust again. That's a crazy place, man. Your whole livelihood, your company's valuation is sitting there on a teenager's feet. The whole world is watching. That's a scary place. But keeping with Nike, celebrity attorney Mike Avenatti. This is the dude that represented Stormy Daniels when she went up against Trump. He was recently arrested for extortion. It comes out that he said, he went to Nike, he said, listen, I got some dirt on y'all, and if y'all don't give me $20 million, I'm releasing it. So Nike reported that to the cops, and Avenatti got arrested. Celebrity lawyer Avenatti, I hate that term, celebrity lawyer. What does that mean? Are you a lawyer or not, bro? Like, whatever. So he got arrested, but he's out on bail. And he out there snitching. Like, that dude released what he says is a text conversation between a Nike executive and an AAU coach who coached DeAndre Ayton, who was the center for the Phoenix Suns. He was the number one pick this year. And supposedly Nike gave $10,000 to that AAU coach, which eventually got funneled down to DeAndre Ayton's family when he was in high school. Avenatti said, look, this is the text message. So he wasn't joking. He's snitching. So I look forward to seeing that battle play out. But the funny thing about it is DeAndre Ayton, when he got to the pro ranks, he said, fuck Nike, and he signed with Puma. I'm taking your 10 stacks, and I'm signing with Puma. So he got a quick flip when he was in high school. Shout out to him, man. Take them companies for all they got. Take them companies for all they got. Now, I told you some athletes retired this week. One of them is the lovable tight end for the New England Patriots, Rob Gronkowski. Rob Gronkowski is a three-time Super Bowl champion. He is only 29 years old. People are saying, yo, Gronk, you're in your prime. What are you doing? To Gronk, I say kudos to you, young man. Get the hell out while you still got all your marbles and are somewhat relatively healthy. And I wish a lot more players would do the same. Football is like hitting a lick, man. You do it one time, and you get out when you can. Rob Gronkowski has made $53 million in his career. That's plenty. That is plenty, son. There's no reason for you to continue to be banging your head into a wall for 15 years. It's a quick lick. Get in and get out. Rob Gronkowski laid the blueprint. For 9 years, he gave you all he had. You know, the experts say he's a Hall of Fame tight end. 9 years gave you all he had, 3 Super Bowl championships. Not only on the field, but away from the field as well. He showed you massive amounts of personality, sold himself. I always get frustrated with athletes when they have the spotlight and they choose not to do right by it, or they choose to shun the media. And then when their careers are over and nobody's looking for them, oh, now they want to be in the media spotlight. Oh, now they want a head coaching job. Take for instance, Patrick Ewing, who played in New York City, the media capital of the world, for 10, 15 years. He ain't say one thing interesting. So when his career is over, nobody's checking for him. Nobody's expecting him to be an entertainer. Oh, now he want to be a head coach. Nah, dog. How do we know if you got the gift of gab or not? You was in the media central of the world. You did nothing by it. Now we supposed to believe you could lead somebody's team? Nah, get out of here. So Gronk gave you all he had for 9 years. And now he's off to live the rest of his life for $53 million. Shout out to him. I wish the brothers would do this more often. I get tired of people talking about, yo, I'm a slave, when you made upwards of $50 million, bro. See, what happens is they earn $50 million, but they live a $49,999,000 lifestyle. So they always put themselves in a position where they're chasing a check. They're always in a position where it ain't enough. I tell you, when I was in the Army, I came from the Army from my house. I had no money. I was broke. So I get in the Army. I'm making more money than I ever had in my life, and I was still broke. I'm like, oh, eventually I got it. Yo, Will, it ain't the amount of money. It's you and your lifestyle, homie. You need to save a little something. Because you made a stack don't mean you got to spend $999. And I wish the brothers would do this more often. Last piece on Rob Gronkowski, he said that he didn't spend any of his salary. He didn't spend any of that $53 million when he played. He lived off of his endorsements. He lived off of his little per diems or whatever. He said, yo, I ain't touched that $53 million. So whether he comes back or not, that's his prerogative. But he's no longer a slave. He's free. He got his money. He hit his lick. And he's gone. Another athlete that retired this week was mixed martial artist Conor McGregor. I like Conor McGregor a lot. Now, this is not the first time he's done this. He retired, I believe, in 2016, and many believe it is posturing to get a better contract with the UFC. And you know what? I can't blame him. Conor McGregor boxed Floyd Mayweather, and in one night, he made $100 million. If I made $100 million in one night, it would be hard for me to go back to fighting for $5 million, $10 million, $15 million. So he's looking for a bigger piece of the pie, and I can't blame him. Conor McGregor has been a part of 4 of the top 5 pay-per-views in UFC history. So I can't blame him. You know, the story is that he's retiring. He wants either a piece of ownership to fight again, or he's washing his hands. And you know what? I can't blame him, son. After a $100 million night, it'd be hard to go back to 5 and 10. It'd be hard to go back to worker money. Nah, dog, I need some boss money. Give me a percentage. Put me in the ownership chair. But Conor McGregor has some whiskey out there called Proper 12 Whiskeys, man. Kudos to that, man. Stop getting these rings and freaking banging your head against another man. Take your money and be free. Invest, man. So shout out to them. If it is the end for both of them, wishing them the best, man. Appreciate all the entertainment all these years. And just be free. Hit that lick and get out. I want to go back to football real quick. football real quick. The Arizona Cardinals have a new coach. His name is Cliff Kingsbury. I don't really know his age, but he's much younger than your traditional head coach. And it came out that he is going to allow his players to have cell phone breaks when they are in team meetings. So every 20 or 30 minutes, he's going to let his players run to check their phone. Now, do I think this could be a success? Who the hell knows? I mentioned this on a previous podcast. This was one of my biggest challenges when coaching the younger generations here at Brooklyn College. At what point do you acquiesce to the way things are and how they're used to doing things? And when do you challenge them to just man up and, hey, do it the old school way? So this coach, Cliff Kingsbury, could say, yo, listen, you're going to be in my meeting for an hour and a half, no cell phones. Or he can allow them to take these cell phone breaks every 20, 30 minutes. I don't know what the right answer is. And that's a struggle we see across sports all over the place, the old guys versus the new guys. I do not know. I guess it goes back to the age-old question. Is it better to be feared or respected? And to me, that answer is easy. It's better to be respected. Because you're going to always run into somebody who doesn't fear you. Then what happens? You know, I've had many run-ins in the military with guys who thought they was big and bad. Well, I ain't scared. Now what? I'm going to disrespect you in front of your soldiers, and I'm going to get in trouble. We all lose. But in the rare instances where I had those leaders that I respected, they didn't even have to say anything to me. They could just look at me and express their disappointment, and I'd be messed up. Like, damn, son, I let my guy down. So who knows? These cell phones can endear him to his team. Who knows? It could work. Right? Maybe the iron fist no longer there. Right? Going back to me speaking about being feared or respected, some of the most feared men in the world, Saddam Hussein, they found him in a ditch. When the fear was no longer there, they found him in a ditch and they hung him. Osama bin Laden, one of the most feared men in America, they put 3 bullets in his face. So, I don't know. What I could say is, with situations like that, it could go both ways. But the most important thing for a coach is to have players that he can count on to enforce rules and make sure things run smoothly. In the Arizona Cardinals locker room is Larry Fitzgerald, longtime wide receiver, respected dude. If he can get on the same page with him, say, hey, we're going to do these cell phone breaks. Guys got 5 minutes. But when we get to our meetings, when it's time to take in the message from the meeting, make sure they're focused. You know, and if Larry Fitzgerald can implement that, hey, the cell phone could work. You know, I know when I was coaching, I tried to go to certain players, and because people get tired of hearing the coach voice. But if you got certain players on your team, on your side who can relay the message, you know, guys are more inclined to listen from their peers. So I look forward to monitoring that. Yeah, I was about to walk in here and record a podcast. And I had a few topics, and in fact, my man Fenton hit me up. He's like, yo, Will, you got a pod going today? I'm like, yeah. He's like, what you got? So I gave him a few topics, and then he threw some at me. He was like, yo, you got anything for baseball opening day? I'm like, damn, it is baseball opening day. You know, I really didn't have anything of my own. But as you guys know, I spent the season with the Yankees, and opening day is special. You see a lot of the alumni players come out. Baseball can be a bit of a drag with all this freaking tradition, but opening day tradition of naming everybody on the roster from the trainers and just it's special. It is special, man. I was looking online, and the Yankees did a little bit of a little marketing gig where they brought out a vintage train that went from Times Square to Yankee Stadium earlier on Thursday before the opening day. You know what I mean? Cool stuff like that. Go out there with your son, get on the vintage train, go to Yankee Stadium, smell that grass, get some popcorn, hot dog. So baseball opening day is finally here. And a few years ago, speaking of the butterfly effect, speaking of losses not being losses, I passed up a career opportunity to be witness to opening day in Yankee Stadium. It was 2017. I had worked with the Yankees in Tampa, Florida in their spring training. That May, I was scheduled to join the NCAA home office in Indianapolis, Indiana. You know, I was going to be working full-time in Indiana. I was moving. And the program I was with, the NCAA, they had a voluntary trip in April, which was taking place during opening day at Yankee Stadium. They had a voluntary trip to go to Indiana to look for an apartment to live and all that. I had already done that. I'm not 19 years old. I know how to find my own apartment. I was set. So I told them, listen, I'm not coming on your voluntary trip. Well, that's when I learned that voluntary trip wasn't really that voluntary. And they were upset, and I was upset. I'm like, yo, listen, y'all told me it's voluntary. But the reason I passed up on that opportunity is because, hey, I had worked diligently with the New York Yankees in spring training. I wanted to be a part of opening day at Yankee Stadium. I didn't want to miss that. I wanted to be in the clubhouse running through the dugout and everything when Mariano Rivera came through, when Paul O'Neill came through, when Bernie Williams came through. I had earned the right to be there with the old-timers, to smell that first blade of grass. And you know what? It was special. So let's get ready for some Yankee baseball, and hopefully they have a good year. I got one more topic for you guys before I get out of here. You know, I told you I was communicating with Fenton before I came in to record this podcast, and he shot a topic at me. He said, yo, Will, they trying to cut Special Olympics funding. The government is. They don't want to fund the Special Olympics. And he followed up with something like, man, this new regime, man. I already knew what that was about. That was about the Trump administration. I was like, all right, bro, I appreciate it. I'll take a look. So I pull up this Special Olympics non-funding. You know, I Google it. And I see the person behind it is Betsy DeVos. Now, if you don't know Betsy DeVos, she is the Secretary of Education in the United States. Right? My first time learning of Betsy DeVos, let me tell you about this. My first time learning of her was during her confirmation hearings, right? Donald Trump is looking to set his cabinet, and they have to go before, I don't know who that is, Congress, Senate, and they have to get confirmed, right? They sit on the hot seat. They get asked questions. That's when Ben Carson was up there. He had all those crazy memes with his face looking all crazy. And she was up there, and I remember watching her and thinking, this person is not that smart. Like, forget her political alliances. Forget that. Like, I just remember watching her. I'm like, wow, this person ain't that bright. And the irony is, I'm sitting here thinking that she's not that smart, yet she's going for the position of Secretary of Education. I remember walking away from watching her motivated. No lie. I said, damn, America's a great place. You don't even have to be smart, and you could be the Secretary of Education. I swear to God, that was my first thought. That's what I walked away thinking, like, wow, the land of the free, son. You ain't even got to be that bright. And you can succeed in this great country. So I'm taking a look. You know, Fenton gives me that subversive headline of the government doesn't want to back Special Olympic funding. So I'm reading this New York Times article. It says, Education Secretary Betsy DeVos faced scathing criticism this week over a budget proposal that calls for eliminating funding for the Special Olympics. Right? doesn't look good. Doesn't look good. So I look at her comments. And she says, we had to make some difficult decisions with this budget. And the Special Olympics, she said, they weren't going to fund it, right? In the proposed budget. And this is her explanation. She said, the Special Olympics is a private organization, not a federal program, that raises millions each year. Given our current budget realities, the federal government cannot fund every worthy program, particularly ones that enjoy robust support from private donations. Yo, I ain't gonna lie. That's the most coherent thought I've ever heard from her. You know, if I was in a room with somebody who was making that case, I would have a hard time rebutting it. She's not saying, hey, I don't care about the Special Olympics. I don't care if they fold. She said, listen, that group and its mission is well known. They are going to do just fine off of their private donations alone. They are going to continue to prosper. So the money we have from the federal government, we can devote it to other places. Dog, I would have a hard time rebutting that. She goes on to say about the Special Olympics, I love its work and I have personally supported its mission. The New York Times article, Ms. DeVoe, a billionaire who comes from a politically powerful and wealthy Michigan family, pledged not to accept her government paychecks and got the approval to give away her $199,000 salary last year. So she earns $199,000 from salary. She gave it away to four different charities. Special Olympics was one of those charities. So Shorty actually put her money where her mouth is. Like, whatever you feel about them politically, like, I can't deny that. I can't dispute that. She said, look, that group, people know what it is. They're going to do just fine with their private donations. Let's take this government money and put it elsewhere. She said, I believe in that place so much, I've given them my own money. They're just fine. So, forgetting about the headline and how bad it looks, if you had to ask my opinion, I would have no issue with it. You know, if we were giving it a fair shake, hey, I hear you. I went upstairs the other day. My grandparents live upstairs, and my grandfather's a country boy from North Carolina. Minimal opportunities for education. Worked in the post office, just a solid square dude, you know, and he gonna give everybody a fair shake. Now, for most of his life, he's voted Democrat, but I know he's voted for a Republican here or two. Like, he's just gonna give somebody a fair shake above all else. I could go upstairs and say, yo, Grandpa, I feel like jumping off the moon, and my grandmother and my mother, they'd be like, boy, you crazy. Get out of my face. But he will sit down and really listen to you and give you a fair shake and like, yo, well, let's talk about it. Like, just a solid dude. And when I went upstairs and he was watching Fox News, I'm like, yo, Gramps, ain't that for the right wing and the other side? And I'm like, yo, why are you watching them? And in his southern drawl, he said, yo, well, Fox is the only people that'll give Trump a fair shake. I said, copy, Pops. I got you, man. So, you know, keeping with that and his cabinet member, Betsy DeVoe, that's a salacious headline that they are looking to cut funding. But when you get into it, man, sounds like a plan, right? Sounds like, you know, the Special Olympics is still going to prosper and she wants to put the money elsewhere. And my last piece with these, that's just my opinion, right? I come up here with this podcast and I speak passionately at times, but understand it is just my opinion. I don't ever claim to know it all. I don't claim to be right, wrong. Every day I go home, I question everything I've ever said and did for that day. All right. So I see people getting worked up. There's somebody in this world that think Trump is good. Somebody think he's bad, man. Even if you and all your friends and everybody in the community think he's bad, it's still just one person's opinion. So it is what it is, man. It is what it is. That's WBH Radio. That's episode 31. Appreciate y'all, man. I'm out.